Well, family, I just want to thank you as this morning we get the opportunity to be in devotion together. It just as we go through this winter drudgery, we were reminded how our sins are whiter than snow and that you are the one that has cleansed us. And as we walk through this time, may we take advantage of even the times in which we're snowed in to just love each other and to be a family. And I pray that that we are feeling well today and that the sicknesses that are going around do not overtake us, but that that we gain strength. Today, I want to talk about a subject that I've just been kind of growing in over the last couple of years. The title of it is The Spiritual Encounters of the Bible. And it's a subject that's not talked a lot about in many Christian circles, the power encounter of the gospel. When we hear the word power, we immediately from our openness before God and his choice to reveal himself in special ways to bring glory to himself. And we obviously know of Old Testament encounters of Moses and Pharaoh and the plagues, and of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. But ones that we maybe not normally think about is even the power encounter of Jeremiah, as he was not only known by Babylon and all of Babylon, but also when Jerusalem was destroyed, the commander of the army of Babylon came and got him out of prison and freed him. But it would also be things like Paul in his life, the encounter of the prison doors opening, or of him being bit by a viper and not dying. And in fact, if we're honest with ourselves, Jesus' whole life and his whole ministry was a power encounter that brought the revelation of the gospel to people's lives. And so one thing that's important to me as I think about in power encounter is that we have a balanced approach to this power encounter. And the balanced approach that Jesus took. And it really is three things. Concerning power itself, it's the result in power to release people from satanic captivity and bring them into freedom in Christ. And we see that in Christ's life. It's the concerning commitment, the result and commitment encounter to rescue people from wrong commitments and to bring them into relationship with Jesus Christ, which is the right commitment for all mankind. And then it's concerning the truth. The result of truth is that it changes the error that the sinful heart has to bring people to a correct understanding about who Jesus Christ is. So this is how it worked out in Jesus' life. Jesus began connecting with people through teaching. It would be followed by a power demonstration, and then it would lead to a commitment encounter. A classic example of this is Luke 5. Jesus was teaching by a lake, and the people were having a hard time hearing him. And so he saw boats, which were owned by Simon Peter's family, and he asked if he could go in the boat. And so they put off a little bit from the lake shore, and he continued to teach so the people could hear. He then turned to Peter, and he said, "Put down your nets for a catch." And of course, we realized that this was at the worst time of day for a fisherman. And somebody once said that that Peter wasn't a really good fisherman because he really never caught any fish recorded in scripture on his own. He always needed Jesus to help him catch fish. And so anyways, so Peter said, "Okay, I will do that." And it became one of the greatest catches that Peter had. In realizing who Jesus was, Peter said, "Get away from me, for I am a sinful man." And so in the teaching, of course, is the truth encounter. And then the power encounter was the fish. But then the commitment encounter is when Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, Peter. From now on, you will fish for people." And where we cannot always apply the direct actions of Scripture, we can apply the truths. The truth is that unless these three encounters are applied in our gospel presentation, we will miss the opportunity to watch the Holy Spirit move in the hearts of people. Paul said, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." I don't have a long time on our time, and so I want to kind of summarize these a little bit more concisely for you. And I want to leave you a picture of this. And so this is how I'm going to do it. The concern of the truth encounter is understanding. The vehicle of that encounter is teaching. John 8, 31 through 32 says this: "To the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" This is the importance of studying to know God. It is hugely important. But unfortunately, a lot of time the church stops there. They almost believe that studying is the end result of a life in Christ, but it really is only the beginning. I met with a man last week, and he was telling me why he didn't believe in Jesus Christ. And I told him, I said, "Have you read the Bible?" And he said, "Well, bits and pieces, but you know, quite honestly, it's really too hard to understand." And I said to him, I said, "It is intellectual suicide to say you do not believe in something without opening your heart up to read and to understand it, at least intellectually." And I think that got him thinking. So the truth encounter is really the beginning. The concern of the commitment encounter is relationship. The vehicle of that encounter is witness. It is really walking out your faith to God. I really call this the discipleship encounter, in which you actively engage in personal, real, authentic relationship with God and with others. It is Acts 2, when the new believers read God's word together, they fellowshiped together, they prayed together, and they broke bread together. This is really the commitment encounter. And then finally, the concern of the power encounter is freedom. Now, this is interesting. I think this is going to get your attention. Its vehicle is spiritual warfare, and its result is becoming like Christ. Ephesians 6, 12 tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. We have been taught to look at that as some kind of voodoo living in which we harness some kind of power and beat the forces up. But it's not that at all. It is really just as simple as spiritual warfare is as simple as living out how to love, how to have joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. It, just like Jesus' whole life is a demonstration of spiritual warfare, it is also calling the church. Jesus showed us what it looked like to love, how to have compassion for people. And even when he looked at the Israelites and he said, "I see them, as sheep without a shepherd. They are harassed every day. He really walked into the spiritual warfare. That is what's going on inside of our world. People are being harassed every day, and there's no leadership, and they don't know where to go. They don't know who they are. And so for us to walk into a spiritual encounter, we need to be willing to be encountered by God's word, to be encountered by commitment and discipleship. And it's no longer our life, but it's his. And then to be able to walk into a world of warfare by loving and by gently sharing the love of Jesus Christ with people. It is so needed today. I have never in my life seen people so harassed, in fact, in which they no longer know who they are, so they try to take on false identities to find out who they are, because no one is bringing them to the identity of their God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so he promised us that if we'll walk into these three balanced encounters, that the gates of hell would not prevail against us. And so I pray today that you will study and walk and become, that you will live under the truth encounter, the commitment encounter, and the power encounter. Freedom, which gives us the freedom to walk into spiritual warfare into this world and to live out the life of Jesus Christ so that others will come to know him as their Lord and Savior. I hope today this encourages you and gives you more of a balanced view of what the power encounter is really all about. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the church is getting beat up because it has no understanding of what a true balanced encounter with you is really all about. They believe that just studying the word is the end result, and yet, Lord, it is but the beginning. We need to walk out by commitment, and we need to become by walking into the spiritual warfare of this world and living out loving others, living out becoming one with others as Jesus is one, as you are one with the Father. And that was your high priestly prayer. And so, Father, I pray that you'll just bless the hearers of this word today, and that they may be encouraged to walk into what you're calling them to. I love you with all my heart. Thank you for the privilege and honor to love others in the name of Jesus Christ. In your name alone, amen.